So Nathan,
Daniel,
you're losing your shop.
Yeah. Is this my eulogy? I have it written out.
Yep.
No, so, dude, it's so fucking frustrating.
So that means they're moving your location, the Gilbert one, right?
They're moving it. They're merging it with the Tempe one.
Which means they're just going to the Tempe one.
When I heard
they're
merge,
closing the Gilbert one.
They're just closing the Gilbert one. Well, it's fucked up because I went today and they have it plastered like all over the signs everywhere. And they were like
going out of business.
And like, they know me because I show up weekly.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, the shop was doing like pretty good actually. But apparently like the mall that it's in was kind of being shady and they were doing like 1 year lease agreements. And they think that they think that the guy that owns that mall is trying to like sell it, like the whole thing. And
to,
so they're
to be wet.
Like, I don't know.
It could only be another mall.
That's what I'm saying. Right. So I don't really understand. I didn't really like understand.
I guess
it fully.
It could be like kind of. But I put like doctor's offices in there or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But they did tell me some exciting news that Daniel Warren Johnson is going to be at the Tempe one in January.
Wow.
So I'm definitely getting a Murder Falcon signed.
Do you want to go to Patton Oswalt in Tempe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
Just ring dad.
Does he
loves Ratatouille. I don't think he knows. He doesn't know who Patton Oswalt is, but I think it'd be really funny if we just gave him Minor Threats or something and read this. And just act like you're a fan of it.
Just
and then
bring
say,
a Ratatouille like a copy. Like, can you send us?
Is there? Oh, dude, yeah.
Like a DVD or four.
Wait, when does he come again? We could get him that for his birthday. Or for his for Christmas.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd care.
He wouldn't care.
He would go on a shelf. I think it's the second.
Dude, one time we were watching a movie and like, I think in the previews, the live action Little Mermaid preview came on. And he was like, you know, Little Mermaid's like my favorite animated movie. And like, the lore of my dad in my head just fucking crashed and burned.
Your favorite?
And I was like, no, it's not. It's Ratatouille. And he's like, oh, yeah, it is that movie. That's a good movie. And I was like, what are you doing to me right now?
What you meant to say is Ariel's your favorite Disney princess.
Yes. I think he just flubbed his words.
That's so funny.
But yeah.
We're like, no, you're wrong about what you like.
You don't even know what you like then.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should definitely go meet Patton Oswalt. That'd be sick.
So what shop are you going to go to now?
I don't know.
Are there other shops?
They said that they'll ship my comics to me for free for the next 3 months.
That's cool for 3 months.
Yeah. But if you spend over $50 a month, I guess, which I do.
Yeah.
Then they'll be shipped to me for free anyways.
Okay.
So, but I don't know if I can really.
That sounds like it's like you get one shipment per month.
No, I think it's weekly.
Because
I'd have to ask that actually. It does. Because shipping's probably like.
I guess I just learned that Ash does that. Like they have like a website and you can like order shit on there.
Yeah, it's
like,
probably monthly, huh? I'm not good enough at like adding shit to my box or whatever online. So
yeah.
I think I just have to find somewhere new, but I was just hit with this news today or yesterday, whenever I found out.
Yeah.
Thought about it.
That's brutal.
Yeah. It sucks. Cause
like if my shop like closed, I have like three other options, you know?
Yeah. For context, this shop was not even a 5 minute drive away from me. Like I could walk to it. I haven't.
It's closer than like your closest grocery store.
Yeah, it is actually.
Which is nuts.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
I have to like plan my day around going to the comic shop.
I know. Now I have to be fucking like you. But yeah, like it wasn't a mall, so you have to like find parking. But like I could go to Wetzel's Pretzels after I get comics if I wanted to.
You could just like go to Ash before you come here and you can pick up my books too.
Maybe.
You know, it's not that out of the way.
We'll talk about it.
Anyway, Nathan, we got a podcast.
Yeah, we do.
This is the Trade Readers Pod.
It sure is.
The comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
Yes, we do.
If I don't start the intro exactly how I always start it, yeah.
Mojo's thrown off.
Yeah.
No mojo.
Yeah. I can't recite it the same. In this episode is meant to remind you to go vote.
Go vote. It's important to go vote for Loki this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Write him in.
Make your voice be heard. This will come out on the 1st. And I think the voting day is the 5th.
But Dana, I thought comics weren't political. They all are.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
All of them.
But yeah, we've waited a whole election cycle to read this book.
We could have done it last election cycle, but I'm like, nah, that book's probably lame.
It was a little too early, you know. But first, Daniel, what do we have to talk about?
We got to talk about news.
Big fucking news.
Oh, yeah. More just like a lot of news.
More than San Diego Comic-Con. Because like most of this comes from New York Comic-Con. I didn't know
New York Comic-Con is so important.
It's fucking huge this year. Maybe that's like the real Comic-Con now for like real Comic-Con heads.
Is it?
I think so, right? Because like San Diego. It feels like
everyone went to New York.
No, I think like San Diego is supposed to be like the big one because that's when all the like movie previews or whatever are supposed to show up. But this one feels like, or maybe, I don't know if it's been like this in the past, but there's been so much that was announced.
Is there a big news or is there just a lot of news?
Just a lot of news. Okay, big news week. I mean, tell me if you think this is big news, Daniel, but Heavy Metal Magazine's making a comeback.
Oh shit, is it really?
Yes, it is.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. The Heavy Metal Inc. Twitter account said, "We're so back." And they posted like a Heavy Metal promo thing.
Whoa.
Which is pretty cool.
It's time to make Heavy Metal heavy again. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's the big news of the week, everybody.
That's the hat I want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's fucking sick.
That's sweet. Because, you know, I've been hunting those down. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I know. I was like, Daniel, is either going to be disappointed that these aren't like super niche anymore or, you know. But
nah, they'll be cool. Niche even when they come back out.
I don't even know what a Heavy Metal is necessarily. Are they? They're just like random stories, right?
Yeah, they're all random.
Like, it's all anthology.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Random creators every time.
Yeah.
There's no rules, Nathan. But it's mostly like sci-fi kind of stuff.
That's cool.
But there's some good stuff. There's some like, it's definitely weird shit.
Yeah. It's like Mad Magazine for weird shit, right?
In basically, comics? Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But yeah, I'll definitely get back on it. I'll be a subscriber.
Yeah.
I hope it's like something you can just get through your comic shop and not like something I have to surely, like mail for.
Surely it would be, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it would be. I mean, because you could get Mad Magazine.
I don't want to pay like $60 a year or something because it's like a magazine subscription.
Yeah, it could be like its own individual publisher.
Yeah.
That like is direct to consumer.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway, that's a good question.
Maybe it's both.
Could be.
Hey, then Vertigo.
Vertigo's coming back.
It is back, baby.
Yeah.
My only thing is that they should have had a couple announcements with it to reprinting Nice House?
No.
What else?
It's Nice House by the Sea is going to launch as a Vertigo book.
It's already coming out.
But it's now a Vertigo book?
Okay. Other announcements of shit that we didn't know about before today.
I agree. Yeah, that would have been kind of cool, but it's cool that it's coming back. Well, I guess because
there wasn't like Vertigo stuff and like I imagine they bring that back to show that it's something separate from Black Label because they're keeping Black Label.
Okay, they are. Okay.
Yeah. And so that's like a third imprint of this publisher. And so you got to have like, I don't know, something to show that it fits within like the Vertigo universe or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so.
They like tried doing that with like the Sandman universe stuff. But yeah. I don't know. Those like aren't going on anymore and whatnot, and no new stuff came back.
Right.
So,
well, I think, do you think they just have to announce it first before they get people like interested? Because it's creator owned stuff.
I'm sure they announced Distillery when they had the creators already involved, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And that's a brand new
that's a good
publisher.
Point.
So,
this is a good point. But pretty cool. I mean, Vertigo's nice. I can't wait to see it come back, see what they come up with.
What's funny is like if you like have say like a Preacher omnibus and you have like a Vertigo edition,
mm-hmm.
but then you're like me and you buy the DC one,
yeah,
that when it's Black Label, then so now they're going back and it'll just be Vertigo again. So it's not great for people with bookshelves who like uniformity.
Yeah, true.
But anyway,
Ultimate Wolverine's coming out.
Yeah, in January.
In January.
Chris Condon and Alessandro Capuccio.
Yeah, that's the artist that was on the most recent Moon Knight. Pretty cool. Ultimate stuff has been pretty cool so far. I know you haven't read much of it, but pretty solid.
Yeah, that's cool. It looked interesting design.
It looked like a Deadpool Wolverine, like actual mashup, like Wolverine in like a Deadpool armor, but it's not.
It's like he's like the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, he's like a Winter Soldier Wolverine.
He's got claws too.
Mm-hmm. So pretty cool.
So that'd be neat.
A lot of these announcements are books that are coming out in January because it's about 3 months away. This was kind of like a solicitations.
We're coming out in March, Nathan. We got Absolute Martian Manhunter.
Oh my God. I can't wait.
Ooh, Denise Camp and Javier Rodriguez.
He's been great on Zatanna. Bring Down the House. I've been a big fan of that book.
I didn't realize that I followed him. I like followed him for like his cut like coloring or something.
Yeah, he's good at all of it.
Yeah. And then I'm like, oh shit, I know that name.
And I've enjoyed seeing him post some process stuff. Apparently he molded the design for Martian Manhunter with like clay.
Yeah.
And so he had like a couple different designs for it. It's pretty cool, like pretty bold design, I would say. So I'm really excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah, no, this is
like probably one of my favorite announcements to come out of this. Yeah,
I was stoked on that.
Yeah. Ryan North, RB Silva are going to be on a book called The Rise of Emperor Doom.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see. I like Ryan North. He's done some good Fantastic Four stuff recently, so he's a good pick for that. Distillery book.
Okay.
Cy Spurrier and Matthias Bergara, the team behind Ooh. Step by Bloody Step.
Yeah.
And Coda.
The Quiet Book.
They are doing something with Distillery. But yeah, they're doing something again. Really excited to check it out.
What's it called?
I don't know. I don't think we know yet.
Okay.
They just announced that they were doing something in 2025, and they had like a little teaser image, but it didn't have the title.
What's that say up there?
It says, A Taste of 2025.
That's probably what the book is called.
Yeah, maybe.
Nathan, Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees 2.
Yeah, that was weird.
: Rite of Spring.
Yeah.
Which is neat.
Patrick Horvath.
Horvath, whatever.
On it again.
He's back, baby.
He is back, baby, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I hope it's a different...
I hope it's like just...
Character.
I hope
the main character, like different characters.
I kind of hope it's like Dexter.
Really? Yeah, maybe.
It just like keeps going, like each, you know, five issues is like a different season.
There's like a Trinity Killer. He's just ripping Dexter.
That'd be so funny.
Like, wait a damn minute.
Dexter, except it's fucking anthropomorphic.
Yeah, it's a bear.
That'd be funny.
So that's neat. Jason Aaron's doing a 6-issue series called Bug Wars.
I did see that.
Looks interesting.
We'll see. That's fun.
Really big one. Tim Seeley and James Gunn
writing
a book with Mitch Gerrits on art, and it's Vigilante / Eagly.
That's very fun.
Which is awesome.
A lot of the art for it that I've just seen that Mitch has posted is very fun.
It looks so good.
I assume that comes out with Peacemaker season 2 kind of coming out, but I'm excited to see that. I mean, it's such a... I'm excited to see Mitch with other writers. Not that Tom King's like bad, but I think this kind of will explore a more fun side that Tim Seeley is really good at.
And like, what a huge writer to get.
Oh my God.
He's probably stoked.
Yeah. I don't think James Gunn has like really done any comics.
No, I don't think so. So
this will be cool.
Definitely.
Green Lantern Fractured Spectrum number 1 comes out January from Jeremy Adams with art by V. Ken Marion. So that's kind of a cool name, Fractured Spectrum. Maybe the whole spectrum's going away. Who knows? But I like the idea.
Spectrum War.
who's the most on the spectrum?
Lantern Corps War. Nathan, Daredevil Cold Day in Hell by Charles Soule and Steve McNiven.
Do you know what else they were on together?
They were on were they on Death of Wolverine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It's them too.
Cell 5.
Nice. Yeah. It's
was he on Old Man Logan?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's like an old man Daredevil thing.
Yeah. I mean, they're not branding it as like Old Man Daredevil or whatever, but
which
it's
is probably
like,
best.
It's essentially the same. Yeah. Because Old Man Hawkeye, I don't think.
I bet if we go through Old Man Logan, Daredevil's dead in there somewhere.
You think so?
Because like a lot of the books that they come out with on that, I'm like, they survived, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but this is cool.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that.
He's no longer Daredevil, but he
he's old and he's running around.
Yeah, he's still fucking blind.
That's the pitch.
He hangs out with Hawkeye. How do they find each other? I don't know.
It follows a grizzled, older, and powerless version of Matt Murdock, who is no longer Daredevil, but is still the man without fear. So he doesn't have his powers as much.
What does that mean?
I don't know. He's this old Daredevil blind guy. Daniel, Justice League, The Atom Project, written by John Ridley. He's like the for real script writer guy on 12 Years a Slave. I think that's him.
Yeah.
And Ryan Parrott with art by Mike Perkins. I think it's like a...
Mike Perkins is good.
Yeah, he is. He's great.
Yeah.
It's going to have Captain Atom and like the Atom.
Oh.
And a third guy that
isn't
I can't...
Isn't The Atom Project like a Russo Brothers movie with like Ryan Reynolds?
No, this is ATOM, not ADAM.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Otherwise, there'd be a bunch of legal dispute.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Absolute Green Lantern from Al Ewing and Janoi Lindsay. They did a first look. Apparently, it's going to be a cosmic horror series.
Nice.
Which is really cool.
Here we go.
We got some promo art. There's a big fucking lantern symbol that just crashed down in the middle of the city.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm interested. I'm going to start forgetting all the Green Lantern names.
Like the people?
Yeah, like all the people, you know? There's like 7 main ones now.
Yeah, human ones.
Yeah, human ones. So, I'm excited for that.
Hey, the Marvel team up. With J. Michael Straczynski. It's six different one-shots.
Ooh.
One of them that I thought was funny was Dr. Doom and Rocket Raccoon.
Nice.
Because it rhymes-ish.
Do you think that's why they did it?
I hope not. But I think that's funny.
Do we know all the other ones?
I heard about this from a podcast and I didn't like look into it deeper.
Okay.
You want me to look it up?
No.
Okay, good.
I was just curious. That, like, whenever there's one of those, I feel like Howard the Duck is always in there. So I was curious if he was
How the Duck and like Punisher or something.
That would be sick.
Okay, in case there's any good ones.
If it's Howard the Duck and Punisher, here's the story. He's like, you know what? I need a break from kicking all his ass. I'm going to go duck hunting. Like, he's going to go hunting in the forest. And then meanwhile,
Howard the Duck is like, it's rabbit season.
I'm going to go human hunting. He goes to the same forest.
Do you know who? Oh my God.
Is it good? What do we got?
We got some good ones.
Okay.
You know who Volstagg is?
Volstagg.
That
sounds so familiar.
I think it's a knight or something. Anyway, Volstagg. Captain America and Volstagg. Nick Fury versus Fin Fang Foom.
Nice. That's good. I like that.
Hulk and Doctor Strange.
Okay, that's fun.
Plus a backup story with Aunt May and Agatha Harkness.
Nah.
Ghost Rider versus Galactus.
Okay.
And Spider-Man versus Doc Ock. That's not even, what the fuck?
That's normal.
Yeah, that's normal team up.
That's called Spider-Man.
Yeah, but Nick Fury versus Fin Fang Foom.
I'm picking that one up.
Yeah. In the box, please.
J. Michael Straczynski, if you need one more. Howard the Duck Punisher. I think it'd be real good.
Yeah, make it 7. Why not?
Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting. IDW rebranded. We saw that like right after we recorded last week.
Yeah.
But with that came a bunch of announcements, including that they are partnering up to do more horror comics based off of movie properties.
Oh, cool.
So what's to come is Smile Comics.
Ew.
The Twilight Zone.
Okay.
Sleepy Hollow. Event Horizon. And A Quiet Place.
Ooh.
That'd be kind of cool. Some silent comics. Also 30 Days of Night coming back. And with that, they also did
I thought that was Dark Horse. But anyway.
I guess they have it now. I don't know. And then Beneath the Trees, which we already announced.
Sick.
Pretty cool.
Nathan, we got a trailer for Creature Commandos. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Looks weird.
Yeah, it does.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's coming up soon.
So apparently that Rick Flag is Rick Flag Junior?
Senior?
Okay, his dad.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah, seems fun.
Daddy Rick.
Yeah, it seemed like it had, you know, it was like beaming with, you know, style. It seemed like a pretty good start.
Violence.
I just think it's an interesting start to like James Gunn's sort of DC.
Yeah.
Because it's just Suicide Squad with monsters. It seems
like something that'd come in like year 3 or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Because
what if this sucks?
It could. I don't think it will.
Probably not.
It'll be like okay, I think.
They're like, oh no, the live action will be good. You know?
I think okay at worst.
Yeah.
Is that weird to say?
I'm sure I'll like it just because it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's that.
I was looking at this picture and I was trying to figure out what it was.
That is fucking, tell me. That is Absolute Flash.
Yes. We got a first look at Absolute Flash. He's going to be like 13 or something. There's just a meme that I saw that he was born after 9/11. And I'm like, that's crazy. Because like most kids are. All of them are, actually. Yeah,
because if he wasn't, then he would have helped.
Yeah. He could have been like a child, you know, like without his powers. He would have helped.
He would have ran up the building and stopped the plane.
But yeah, there's a fun Captain Cold design where he looks very daddy. So... that's kind of fun. Yeah, Jeff Lemire's on that, I believe.
He just looks like Henry Cavill.
He just looks like Omni-Man.
Yeah. Nathan, Marvel is getting into the compact comic book game.
Yes, I saw this.
Yeah, they're doing some stuff. They're making compact books just like DC, you know. They saw them do something good.
Biting their shit.
Yeah, but you know, it's whatever. But what they're one of the books that they're releasing is Jonathan Hickman's FF.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a streamlined version that is overseen by John Hickman, which means I think they're taking out pages and stuff.
Whoa.
They're just going to make it less fucking dense or something. What do you mean doing a Star Wars?
I don't know. They like change shit after the fact all the time in Star Wars movies.
That I don't think they're changing it. They're just like trimming it down.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
No, like making it shorter.
Yeah.
Which seems crazy.
Is that really what they're doing?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. You know, she can be a little dense. Yeah. So.
Even he's like, you know what? Cut that out.
He should do this with all books.
That's bullshit. Or was it like, maybe there was like parts of it that were like B stories maybe. And like he needed to like make 24 pages or something. And his main artist can only do like 18 a month or something.
That's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they had like backups, but you know, something like that.
Yeah, it just seems crazy. I can't remember the other books that they're doing for the compact versions, but mm-hmm. I think that's cool.
Here's one of the things.
But theirs is going to be $14.99,
Ethan. Yikes, dude.
Yeah, it's steep, bro.
What do you think I got? Fucking money grows on trees?
Might as well just buy a big book.
I can only fork up $10 for a DC compact comics or whatever.
Yeah, so you've chosen your side.
Do you want to hear the worst announcement? Spider-Verse versus Venomverse.
I'm sorry, you misspoke. Best news.
No, because who cares? Who cares about Venomverse?
It's gonna be so goopy.
Yeah, I thought that was wild. Here's my favorite news of the month.
No, my turn.
Okay,
they're doing a sequel for Hush. Batman, yeah. Hush.
It's called Hush 2.
Yeah, have you seen the logo for it?
No.
So it's just Hush, but they take the U out and put a 2 in there. So it's like H2sh.
Why wouldn't they just call it Hush Tua? Because
they don't like money.
And he hushes on that thing. Yeah, this is weird. This also ends Chip Zdarsky's run on Batman.
I don't think it... they say that?
Yeah, it does. It's going to pick up on... it's Chip Zdarsky's...
It's going to be in the main Batman line, but does it...
Chip Zdarsky's leaving in February when this comes out. But that was his choice, according to him on his newsletter.
Okay.
So he just figured he had like a bunch of stuff coming up and he had to make a choice on what was priority. And this was... That was going to be around the time that him and Jorge Jimenez, I guess, are wrapping up a big...
event thing or like arc?
Yeah, big arc with the fucking Zurin R, whatever his name is. So he figured it was like a good time to depart. And then I guess this was also around the time that Hush 2 was going to be a thing. Spit on that thing. And so
then there's
going to be... It'll be Jim Lee in the interiors, which I'm very surprised about.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't do that a lot for more than like one issue.
Right.
Like ever.
He's probably been working on this for like a minute.
Yeah. So I don't like love Hush, but I don't think that's like an unpopular opinion.
I've never read it.
It's not like amazing. There's just some, I mean, Jim Lee is what carries it for sure.
Sure.
And then there's a part where Batman and Superman fight and it's Jim Lee art and it's pretty cool. But whatever, I'll pick it up. Beast Boy Lone Wolf is going to be an animated series from Hanna-Barbera Studios. Did you see that?
Oh, cool.
It looks pretty fun. This is like the promo art for it.
That was neat.
Yeah, I didn't know Hanna-Barbera was still doing stuff. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought they like died, just had...
The Boomerang channel. Boomerang. Which is such a sick channel.
Boomerang's lit, yeah.
Sophie Campbell doing a new thing at IDW. The writer of...
TMNT?
Nope. Yes. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Reborn.
And it's going to be her and Matt Frank. They resurrect Mothra at IDW.
Oh, fun.
So that'll be fun.
Nice, nice.
And I think that's everything.
Alrighty.
Dana, what book did we fucking read this week?
We fucking read Vote Loki.
Vote Loki. Written by...
Christopher Hastings.
With art by Langdon Foss for issues 1, 3, and 4, and Paul McCaffrey for issue 2. I didn't even notice that there's an art change.
It is a little different.
Did you know that Trad Moore did the cover art?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't realize until the second issue, but...
Was he doing all the covers?
He did all the covers.
Oh, I didn't notice that either.
Yeah, so the main cover, that's Trad Moore.
That's awesome. That's early shit Trad Moore.
Yeah. It's 2016. Like, it's like hardly recognizable as... Trad Moore,
no,
you know?
I would.
Now that you tell me that, I'm like, yeah, I guess with the hair, it does look like it. You can see
some of it with like, yeah, just like random facial features, but yeah.
But
early Trad.
Chris Chukri and Rochelle Rosenberg on colors. It's kind of crazy. This is like greenlit.
Yeah, what a wild, what a bold thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it released like right in that election cycle, I think.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was a couple months before the election, probably.
Yeah. And
it was only like four issues, so I'm sure it was easy to kind of like, that made it easier to greenlight, mm-hmm. but greenlight.
Who pitches this and then like who accepts it? And like, do you think this could be a thing now? Probably. But I think it was more controversial maybe back then because of how... Because
what was this, 2016?
2016, that's when things started to get really crazy, it feels like, you know?
Right.
Just with like election cycles.
Sure.
So the fact that they were like kind of leaning into it, I think is kind of cool. They did some bold stuff. He's always swinging for the fences, I think, so.
Yeah, I think it's important to do these weird things that aren't just punching people and whatnot.
Yeah.
But what'd you think about this?
I thought it was fun. It was a little different than I thought. I don't know what I was expecting, actually.
Yeah.
I just knew that this is a thing that people like, but I don't know. If I read this at the time, I didn't know. I wouldn't ever expect him to make like a appearance on the Loki TV show, you know?
Who?
There's like...
Oh, the... Yeah.
Yeah,
the,
there's like the a bunch Loki of versions guy. Of Loki, and there was like the Vote Loki version on there.
That was fun.
That is a fun thing, but I'm like, okay, interesting. Like, this is popular enough.
That's one of the few
enough.
Things I recognized on that show, just because I remember when this book came out.
Like, yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, this has always been a thing. I think, like, the cover of it, so...
It pops.
Yeah, it pops, and it's very intriguing to be like, oh, I wonder what that, you know, kind of feels like.
Yeah.
And it kind of... There's a lot of relevancy here still, I think. So
sure.
it's kind of interesting to like look at after two election cycles have gone by since then, or the second one's about to wrap up.
Yeah, because so. It feels like this just came out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it does. But next election cycle, we should do one of the ones where like Kingpin's getting like voted in as mayor.
There you go.
Or there's like that Lex Luthor one where he's been president for a bit.
President Luthor, yeah.
Yeah. Does he run in that or does he just like become president?
I don't know if we see his like campaign or anything.
Oh, that's what I like. That's what I like to see.
Yeah, I want to see him in the debate.
So yeah, this is fun. I mean, I like the perspective that it takes, which is just like I assume a completely new character taken, but it takes a perspective of a reporter kind of reporting and trying to unveil a lot of the shady things that like Loki's doing. And I appreciate like that perspective is kind of cool.
Right.
There's, you know, it is short, so there's things that happen that you kind of have to like kind of roll with.
Sure.
That like happen like a short amount of time, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, kind of fun idea still. So let's get into it. So Nisa, who grows up to become the reporter, several years ago gets her childhood home destroyed during an Avengers fight. And then in the present, Nisa is a reporter that still has not had her home rebuilt after all these years and is kind of critical of like politicians in general for it. And while she is reporting at the presidential debate in 2016, there are undercover Hydra agents that show up and they attack and they are stopped by Loki, who is also in disguise at the same event. Loki then explains to reporters that both candidates are liars, and he hints that he would lie to people's faces if he were the one running.
He also stops the Hydra agents.
He stops the Hydra people, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
And a heroic feat.
Mm-hmm. Interesting art style. You know, it's kind of like a fun sort of cartoony style, I think. But then, like, some of the close-ups on people's faces almost feels like it's kind of one of those, like, early Trad Moore books.
Sure.
So I like it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know how I'd describe it, but it does seem like stuff that would be in like Mad Magazine or something.
Yeah, slightly, it does kind of feel like that. Like this, like a satire book now kind of deal.
Right. It reminded me most. Do you ever read Die, Die, Die?
No.
Well, it's really close to that art, it feels like, just the way that everyone's drawn, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly just kind of like thick lines when it comes to outlining everybody and whatnot.
Yep.
But... Yeah, anyway.
The two presidential candidates are definitely Trump and Hillary Clinton in this, which I think is like pretty right. bold. Because
yeah, they could have just had like ambiguous like people yeah, running.
Which
but...
like it's not like drawings of Trump or drawings of Hillary, but it's definitely like a blonde dude and then like a blonde woman running for like president.
Right.
And they have like similar kind of like hairstyles, I guess. So it's pretty clear. But it's interesting that they did that because I feel like a lot of times we see If we see a president in comics, it's not like a specific person, you know?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the company. I think when it's Marvel, it's ambiguous. Or
like you don't even see their face a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's like just like
you'll get the shade of like their skin color on their hand, if that. But like
I feel like DC will like be like, oh, this is Obama, you know?
Obama said, you can run the Suicide Squad, Amanda Waller.
Like, yeah.
It's, yeah, I've always... I'd like to see just kind of like a collection of examples of like presidents in comics, because it's kind of funny how they...
I think you have to be the one to do it.
I'll make a video essay. So yeah, it's interesting. So yeah, they were very kind of upfront about it. It's not like people had to guess who was running for president in 2016. So, but after a few days, Loki appears on J. Jonah Jameson's news show, and Loki explains that his latest rebirth, you know, after having so many deaths before, was actually in America. So he could run for president if he wanted to, but he has not announced anything yet. And then Nisa calls into the show and explains that the Avengers were fighting Loki, which is when her home got destroyed.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a big reveal. Like she is, or Loki is a villain, like the Avengers fight him and stuff. And then Loki explains that he is considering running and would like Nisa to go to like his headquarters, I guess, to see what's up.
Why did the artist draw her like dummy thick, dude?
Dude, she is so... Whenever she's at home in like in comfy clothes, yeah, or whatever,
like the shorts.
Oh my God!
I'm like, Jesus Christ!
I know, dude. It is. It's crazy. Like all of her home outfits are just like the shortest shorts. It feels like.
Yeah, and I'm like, God damn.
I'm like, whoo!
This is for Nisa. Children, I think.
Yeah. I was like seeing J. Jonah Jameson outside of like Spider-Man books. I think it's always fun to like feel his presence.
Yeah.
And it definitely makes sense in this book because it's like, you know, very news cycle heavy sort of book.
The Nisa, she's on like her phone and like just kind of looking at tweets, but it's not on Twitter. She is on Twitter.
Yep.
Which is funny.
I think there's been a couple iterations of Twitter like in Marvel and they use just like Twatter or like Twinker or something like that.
Twinker.
It's like weird shit like that.
Yeah.
But I wonder what it is now that it's X.
I think I've seen it.
Is it like
as
y?
Like tweeter.
Tweeter. Even.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Or like Chirper or something.
Chirper, yeah, I think that's been one of them too.
Yeah.
So Nisa shows up to this building that Loki says to go to, and she's met by Angela, who's like Loki's sister. And Loki, who has changed his body into a woman. They talk for a bit and Nisa writes like a hit piece article about Loki's scheming or like suspected scheming. But Nisa's editor in chief gets like brainwashed or something to make the title of the article instead Loki's campaign, something to get excited about. And this causes like a crazy, you know, run of the news. And this causes Thor, Jane Foster at this time, to bust into her house and ask about it. And that's pretty much the whole first issue. But I like the question from Nisa where she's like, do you plan on running as a woman? And then Loki's like, well, it would give me some higher polling numbers with women.
Yeah.
But it's just like an insane thing. He's like, I'm considering it. Maybe I'll be a woman for the selection. So crazy.
Thor at the door. We love it.
Did you know that Angela is initially...
I know nothing about Angela, so...
She was initially a Spawn character, but Spawn... Like Neil Gaiman was writing for Spawn at the time. But then he and Todd McFarlane got into like a fight and they like got into a legal battle over Angela because Todd McFarlane wanted to like print toys of Angela, even though it was Neil Gaiman that created the character, and they got into a legal battle and then he won and then he just sold it to Marvel anyway, just out of spite. Do you know that?
Angela. Are you thinking of maybe like Miracle Man?
No, Angela.
This like... And so that's crazy.
So Angela wasn't even introduced into Marvel.
How do you know that?
I watched a video essay on Todd McFarlane that came up.
Oh,
on my
so
YouTube.
When this character came up, you're like, oh shit.
Well, she's also in my Marvel Snap deck.
Fucking. I hate where your knowledge is coming from. It's not natural.
Listen, most people get their comic book knowledge from like Marvel movies. You know, that doesn't make it irrelevant.
Yeah. But I remember there's some legal thing with, no, it wasn't Neil Gaiman. It was like fucking Alan Moore.
Yeah.
With Miracle Man.
Yeah.
And there was like a bust or whatever that had Spawn and Miracle Man for mm-hmm. some reason. And that was like a big old thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember like any of the details of it because like maybe there's a crossover or something like that, like mm-hmm. you're saying. Why is Todd always doing some shit?
He's kind of like scheming. I mean, he always had to be no, sort of like a businessman kind of deal, you know.
Like a snake?
Somewhat snaky.
Oh, he's a businessman.
He's a bit snaky. I'll say it,
I guess,
but eager, you know, to make good comics or whatever. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. Fun little fact about Angela that nobody knows.
So you looked at this issue 2 cover, and you were and you didn't see Captain America's legs, and you were like, "Oh, that's Chad Moore."
I didn't look at his legs. I looked at how weird his chest looked.
No, no, I was looking at his legs all the way up to his ass.
But this is a fun little homage cover to Captain America's first appearance. Where he punches Hitler.
Yeah,
forever the coolest maybe first appearance cover.
Easily,
where you're punching Hitler. But yeah, this is a fun cover. But no, I think if I was staring at his legs, it would be like it's very Chad Moore of him. Mm-hmm. Chad Moore shaving.
Because like I don't know, every time I see like a variant, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Who did that?
Yeah,
you know?
Normally I am, but I was kind of rushing, if I'm being honest. But
wow. You're rushing through this 100-page book?
I've been busy this week, and I was reading other books before I started reading this, because I knew it was going to take me that long.
Okay.
So some time has passed, and Loki is now in, like, he's, like, making his own presidential campaign commercials. It's all, like, very divisive with people, you know, online and in the news cycle. Jane Foster Thor leaves Nyssa, and she's like, you know, I can't really get involved in like political shit, but you need to stop this. And so Loki then holds a rally in Texas saying that his supporters aren't crazy. It's the system that's crazy. And he wants to make things sane again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wish they didn't go that route. It's like a bit on the nose. Like we kind of all know, like, you know what, this is kind of a satirical love.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a bit on the nose to do like a MAGA type slogan. But I do think it is funny that his first rally was in Texas, because that seems like the kind of people that would be like really on board with like this kind of guy.
Yeah. There's a bit where Jane Foster is in like Nyssa's apartment, and she's like, and they're talking about her article in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
And Nyssa's like, yeah, it's not the nicest thing I've ever written. And then Thor is like, indeed, thou dost burn him.
There's some funny like Asgardian language in this. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That shit's so annoying sometimes.
Thou dost burn him. Like, how are you going to incorporate like American slang or whatever?
Yeah.
Into Asgardian. It is funny. I also think it's fun that like Thor and Angela, maybe like they know that something's going on with Loki, but they don't really get involved with like politics because it's not really their jurisdiction necessarily. So I think it's interesting that they don't really get involved too much.
Right.
So Nyssa's trying to get in contact with the Hydra guys that were knocked out by Loki to see if the whole thing was staged. Nyssa goes to like Loki's marketing firm place, and he sees that there's a Loki cult doing a ritual on a goat. And she takes pictures of it. She reports it on the paper. And then Loki makes a statement saying that, yes, he does have worshipers because he is a god. And then he spins it into like a freedom of religion type thing. And he uses it to gain more supporters. And of course, Nyssa the whole time is like, what the fuck is going on here? So
before Loki's rally, there's like music playing for his entrance.
Yeah, dude.
And it's a I Need a Hero.
They licensed
like,
that.
From like Shrek 2. Yeah, I know.
They had to license
I'm
that.
I'm like, that's expensive.
That is expensive, dude. I was also kind of surprised by that.
I don't know if that song's that expensive, but like still like it would. I think Chip told us something about that.
Yeah, Chip in our interview with him on Sex Criminals said that they tried to get Fat Bottom Girls or something.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
For Sex Criminals. And then they tried really hard, I guess, to get the licensing rights to just put the words of the song in there, not even necessarily play the song.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't come in time. So they ended up pivoting to, I think, a joke that was ultimately more funny. But
right.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can't just like write. Like, I wonder what the extent of that law is. Like, could you put I Need a Hero in, you know, with like little musical notes around it, and is that copyright infringement?
There's also like the lyrics before that.
There's like a whole chorus and stuff, so it's very clear that they licensed it. But do you think like if they just put I Need a Hero with like little musical notes by it, is that copyright infringement?
What if it's in Spanish?
Ooh,
true. Yo necesito hero.
Yeah, so that's fun. That must mean that they had like a fair amount of confidence in this book, but I guess it was only 4 issues, so maybe they used some of that money like in licensing costs. But
yeah, for some reason when I think of what Loki wears, I think of like this book, like how he's got like this trench of green trench coat with like the fur on it.
Yeah, it's very distinct.
That's
huh?
just something that like I think of now for some reason, even like before I read this.
Yeah, well,
because like what does Loki wear, you know?
Yeah,
because I don't know if I've ever really seen him in a comic, honestly.
Yeah,
well, other than the Loki book that we've read.
True. But he was raised by like frost giants. So it makes sense that he has like a furry kind of thing. I think it's part of his identity.
That's like a small part of his outfit.
Yeah, you know? I know. But yeah, I agree. But it also feels like a very distinct design. Like, I don't think I've seen him in this and anywhere else. But yeah, I agree. When I think of Loki's wearing something like this.
Yeah, it's a casual Friday Loki.
Yeah.
He's got like jeans on with like these shin guards for some reason.
This looks like the exact outfit someone would wear to a Renaissance fair that wanted to be Loki.
Yeah, that'd be cool. It'd be hot. But it'd be cool.
It'd be very hot. Yeah, well, for Arizona Ren Fair, yeah. Have you been to a Ren Fair?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay. You don't?
No.
You don't like to drink beer and watch people joust?
I don't like overpaying for beer and then waiting for and having to get like a good spot for jousting, you know? There's not like much there for me. Mm. It's just like a level of nerdiness that I am not.
You don't want to do like archery for a little bit, $5?
I tried it. 20 arrows. I'm very bad at it. And I'm like, I'm just okay with not being good at this, you know?
Mm. Mm. You're lame.
Yeah, I went like 2 years ago and then I haven't gone since. Sarah just goes with her dad without me because he fucking loves going for some reason.
He does? Whoa. Yeah.
I think he just likes...
You don't like to see people play the hurdy-gurdy?
I don't know what that is.
It's a sick instrument. It's like one that's like a...
Is it that big guitar thing?
No, it's one that you like sits on your lap and you crank it and then you like do some shit with your fingers on top of it as well. And it looks very difficult to play.
It's kind of like a themed like
Comic-Con.
Farmer's market.
Yeah.
Like you walk around, you look at stuff that you're not going to buy and then you leave.
You get little trinkets.
And then I don't like the food.
There's fun shows. There's like juggler people and that sounds lame, but it's actually an insane... Like they juggle like... things that are on fire and they're standing on top of each other's shoulders and shit, juggling shit that's on fire. So it's pretty cool.
And it's like, and there's so like strong women,
which is cool. They're doing like crazy shit.
There's what?
There's like a strong woman show that I saw for the first time last year.
And I can see that at the gym.
She, no, dude, she was doing like weird handstands and shit. She was handstanding on a hoverboard that was dressed to look like a dragon.
This pod is not sponsored by Ren Fair.
I'm a big fan. I think
you're a big fan.
I've gone every year for the last like 4 years.
You do have like an outfit.
I do
that you take that you wear to that.
That was the first this last year was the first year I did an outfit.
Mm, but now you have an outfit.
But now I have an outfit that I will wear again.
Yeah, it's far and the traffic sucks. And
traffic does suck.
I just don't have a good time.
It typically takes at least an hour to leave.
I can't wait to leave.
Yeah. All right. That's fair enough. I think there's like a recurring thing where there's all these gotcha moments that she can't like she can't wait to publish and report on. And then it just kind of gets flipped into more publicity into the candidate, right. Which is, I think, a little bit too real, you know?
Yeah.
But it's funny how that is still the case now.
Yeah, it's where like nothing could like really come out to change people's minds.
Yeah, they can kind of spin it in some way or, you know, do all sorts of things with it. But issue three, we have... Nissa hears about the Hydra agents waking up and being transferred to a correctional institution, and she wants to interview them, see if it was a thing that Loki staged. So she follows the transfer vehicle, which at one point gets flipped and crashes and catches fire with everybody on board. So all the Hydra agents are now dead. Loki participates in the first ever three-person presidential debate, where Loki now has to like kind of talk about certain policies and stuff. And it mainly focuses around a hot issue in the United States involvement in Latveria, which currently has multiple factions that are trying to take it over now that Doom is gone for some reason. And the two other candidates kind of agree on sending troops while Loki takes a peaceful stance trying to show that he's not a villain anymore. And a three-person debate would be wild. It's kind of hard to follow with two people. So I can't imagine what like the dynamic there would be for three.
Especially with like responses.
Yeah. Because like
it wouldn't work out that well.
Normally it's like one person makes a statement and there's like a rebuttal. So how does that work with like three people? Do they each get their own rebuttal? And like how does that work?
Maybe you have like 2 minutes and you could spend like 1 minute on each person, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
Or just asking them all the same questions, no rebuttals.
Was Doom gone? In 2016?
I have no fucking clue.
Do you remember? Was this after Secret Wars?
Isn't that the same year as Secret Wars?
2016? It sounds like it, yeah.
I'll double check, but...
But then, like, what happened with like, Doom after? He was still alive. After Secret Wars, too.
God Doom or whatever.
He was God Doom, but not after Secret Wars 2. Remember? Because he had, like, his face fixed and he wasn't all scarred up.
2015, 2016, so yeah,
right about that. Yeah, this was after Doom. So I wonder what happened. But I wonder if he had some limitations on what they could debate about, because right now this is a fictional guy talking about a fictional place.
You're talking about like the writer?
The writer, like, do you think he was denied the opportunity for Loki to talk about gun control or like abortion?
I think.
Or do you think he just wasn't interested in that?
I don't think he was interested. I think he would only write things that would be relevant to
Marvel,
the Marvel World. Universe, you know, like foreign policy with Latveria, you know, like that makes sense.
That's something that you can.
You could have thrown in like.
You could throw in any real position. Importing
adamantium or whatever, or vibranium from like Wakanda, shit like that.
Yeah. You know? Are we going to impose tariffs on.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that. So.
And so, yeah, like, is that. I don't know if I need like Loki's opinion on like every topic.
Yeah.
So. Because this was only like a couple pages, right?
Yeah. So Nissa books a flight to Latveria, assuming that Loki is involved with what's going on over there in some way. And it turns out Loki has disguised himself as one of the people in these factions and uses his magic to get them into the weapons vault inside of like Doom Castle, which is locked with magic. And then there's a conflict there with another faction that shows up. It gets into a big fight. There's an explosion and Loki goes back to his like Loki form and then he portals away to go do a rally. But Nissa catches the whole thing on video, seeing him like, you know, turn back into Loki and leave. And this news gets published and people are still on Loki's side saying that he single-handedly defeated terrorists and saved our troops.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of crazy that Nissa like was able to figure out who Loki was like disguised as, so, and then have video of him transforming and then going through a portal
and leaving, and she's like,
which is like a two panel sequence, you know?
Yeah, imagine like, that's crazy that you just like, oh, let me book a flight to Latveria where there's like definitely like war or something going on, conflict at least.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Just don't go to the war areas, you know?
Dude, I follow this channel on YouTube called Channel 5 News. It's the people that used to be No Gas No Breaks.
Yeah,
All Gas No Breaks, sorry. And they sometimes do like comedic journalism, but they were like in Ukraine during like the Ukraine like war. I mean, it's still going on, but they were like when it was like beginning, they were in nuts. Ukraine. And I was like, holy fuck, these people just like went to Ukraine.
Like it was on accident. Like they went there.
No, they went there because of it.
That's nuts.
To like interview Ukrainians.
How did that go?
It's just a wild video. I definitely, it's like my favorite channel on YouTube because they do all this weird shit.
Was it like funny?
No.
Oh,
very serious.
Yeah.
But it like felt important that they were doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And then they come back and then they do like a fucking NASCAR show and there's a bunch of people like drinking and shit. It's like the most wild stuff.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Yeah. One of the headlines after she exposes Loki is that it says Balls of Uru. Loki single-handedly defeats terrorism or whatever.
Oh,
do you know what Uru is?
No,
it's the shit that Mjolnir is made out of. It's like
Uru. Oh, right.
Yeah, I just think that's a funny headline.
I think you're gonna say audience. May a god bless America.
Yeah, that's also a good one. That's a good headline.
Yeah,
like that would get me to watch. So that's issue 3. Issue 4, it's pretty close to the election. It's like 5 days before. Loki is polling pretty well despite not having a vice president picked out, which is kind of crazy.
Or a political party.
Well, he's independent.
Oh, right.
That's what he's running as. But what I think is funny is that I'll just like get whoever got second place to be my vice president. That's what he says.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, what a fucking wild idea.
I'm like, can you do that? Is that allowed?
I don't know actually.
Anyway, you know, very, very controversial part about this issue.
Uh-huh.
Nissa, she's wearing a red jersey with the number 7.
What is that?
Michael Vick.
No way. She's a Michael Vick supporter?
That's crazy.
Whoa. She's the villain the whole time.
Oh, my God. She likes dogfighting.
Dude, that's crazy.
Let me double check that, but I'm pretty sure. I just saw that right now. I'm like, wait a minute.
A red and black? What team was Michael Vick on? Falcons?
The Falcons. And then the Eagles, but yeah.
Surely there's
pretty right? close, dude. Oh, pretty close.
Oh, my God. She's a dogfight supporter.
Dude, Christopher Hastings is wild for that one.
That's insane.
I'm sure he didn't say, oh, dude.
She's not even living in Atlanta.
Dude,
I don't think.
Dude, look at the guy like behind him.
Wiener.
What a good picture.
Loki gets attacked by an inhuman, but is saved by Angela, who's his head of security. Angela then gives the information to Nisa that the Hydra attack was staged by Loki in exchange for a lifetime subscription to the Daily Bugle crosswords. This is my favorite line where Thor's like, you're telling me that was a deal? And Angela's like, I enjoy the crossing of words. And I'm like, that's fucking real.
Yeah, dude, because like if you want to do like the real crossword in New York Times.
Need
like,
a fucking subscription.
It's like $7 or something.
Yeah. Anyway, 3 days before the election, the nation's divided. Loki's campaign was not hurt by the Hydra staging news. Loki appears at Nisa's door, claiming that the chaos that he caused by running was not what he had wanted. And he offers to talk to America to stop all the violence and whatever that's happening. And he promises not to lie. Nisa then challenges Loki to instead talk to his supporters that are at this rally that he's teleported them to. Loki fumbles a lot of these questions that are being asked by the audience. That makes it very clear that he's not fit to run for president.
He like just doesn't have any policies.
He doesn't have any policies. And so when they're asking about like healthcare shit, he's like, you know, I think it's important or whatever. And then people
are like, I'll just figure out what the best answer is, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They actually did kind of ask, like, where you stand on gun control or the Mutant Registration Act kind of stuff. So I think the Mutant Registration one's interesting.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty big at the time. And so he fumbles a lot of these. And on election day, it's pretty clear that he's, like, going to lose. So Loki shows up at Nisa's house and he spins the whole situation into this is how Loki is making up for destroying Nisa's childhood home by making her a successful reporter with a prominent career probably going forward. But in reality, when he leaves, he calls somebody on the phone and it's one of the presidential candidates. And he's like, you're welcome that I helped you win because you were not polling very good before I split the vote. And then the book ends. So didn't win. And I think he helped Trump win. Because that's how the 2016 election went.
Yeah.
Let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
There's like old Loki comics.
There's Journey into Mystery number 85, which is Loki's first appearance.
Uh-huh.
And then there's, it's not, I don't think it's the whole issue. And there's also like Avengers 300.
Yeah.
Which is
his
retelling of the Avengers.
Yeah, the Avengers forming. I don't know.
The origin of that. Yeah.
I didn't feel like reading it. It's very old.
I read it.
You did?
Yep.
How was it?
It's okay. It's fun. It's kind of weird looking at books this old because it's like colored, like the colors updated.
Yeah, they did like,
and
they
it's
digitally recolored it.
They digitally recolored it. And so it's like, doesn't, not going to look like how it looks like on like newsprint, you know?
Right.
So that's something that I was always, always interesting. So Loki, he's like stuck in a tree. The tree of life or whatever.
Oh, okay. I was like, yeah. A regular tree.
Yeah. And he makes a leaf. He, in order to get saved from the tree, he needs someone to cry at the tree. And so what's his name? Heimdall. So Heimdall walks by and Loki like drops a leaf so that the leaf falls perfectly and hits his eye. And so he cries. And then
that counts?
Yeah, I guess so.
Wow.
He cries and he's free.
That was his first appearance?
Yeah. Look at the forehead on this bitch.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I had to write that down.
Huge.
But anyway, in this time, Thor is, he has to like turn into Thor. There's a dude named Don Blake.
Yep.
As his alter ego. And he gets the hammer, he turns into Thor.
Yep.
But if he lets go of the hammer, after 60 seconds, he turns back into Don Blake.
Yep.
So he's like a Shazam kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, I knew about that.
But anyway,
who's the artist? Did it say? Because it looks like Walt Simonson in some of the Thor panels.
Walt Simonson did the Avengers stuff.
He did. Okay. That's what I was looking at.
Yeah. I'm sure it says at the beginning. Yeah. Loki, he like freezes some people like in like public and he turns them into like negatives or something. I thought that was a cool looking panel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And they just like freak out because like the colors that they portray are like negative.
Yeah.
And so in order for Thor to save the people who turn negative, he spins his hammer fast enough to emit antimatter particles.
Wow.
In order to undo what Loki did.
It's very sci-fi for.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? What's that even mean? And so, but not like swing it. Like it like rotates.
Oh.
Yeah.
He wasn't swinging it like he normally does to fly around?
Wow. No. I'm like, how the fuck did he spin that way? He does like a handlebar spin kind of thing.
Hmm.
And so for Loki to get away, he flies off and he controls some pigeons to kind of disguise himself.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. As you do.
Yeah. He's known to do that a time or two.
Right. And he's doing some cheap shots. He go on the subway and he's just pushing people onto the subway tracks.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And so what Thor does, instead of lifting them up, he gets under the train tracks and lifts up the train tracks so that the train goes over him and the people.
That is quick thinking. Who thinks of that to be like, maybe I can bench press from the ground? Dude, he's like fucking up infrastructure.
Right.
Dude.
And like, there's like ceilings in subway, so I feel like it just goes straight into the ceiling.
Yeah. Also, the people that are sitting in those train cars, they probably get hell whiplash.
Yeah. Like, whoa. Yeah. One of those.
That's insane.
And so Loki tries to escape. He like flies off on like a Pegasus, but Thor throws this like, I don't know, tube or something. What is this? A large section of pipe. And it hits him and he falls into the water.
Whoa.
And of course, Nathan, like everyone knows, that magic doesn't work in water.
It doesn't?
It does not.
Whoa.
And so Thor has to save him so that he doesn't die.
Does he use magic?
But he doesn't know how to swim? The gods of Asgard, they can talk underwater. So they...
Oh, wow. Yeah, they can.
Right. So he's like, you would save me?
They're just underwater.
Yeah, he's like, I cannot stand to let anyone perish, even you.
This is so funny.
Right. So in order to send Loki back to Asgard, he ties Loki to Mjolnir and then throws him to Asgard.
Yeah.
And then
how does he get there?
And then Mjolnir just comes back.
He orders him like a...
And it comes back within 60 seconds.
He orders like a Mjolnuber.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I thought that was funny.
That is funny.
And so that was about it. For that first one.
What a fun campy comic.
Yeah, the second bit, that's Walt Simonson.
Yeah, he's so good.
Yeah, he's very good. This one, I'm not going to really... Oh, there's another train situation. So Loki, like, projects a bomb on some railroad tracks again. And so the Hulk dives at it and breaks the railroad tracks. But in order to save the train, he just, like... Gets in a doggy style.
Whoa.
And so that his back can become the tracks for the train.
He throws it back.
Yeah, dude.
Another train shit, huh?
Right.
Man, train scenes were very popular. Hulk fucked this up. The infrastructure as well.
Look at the Hulk face.
Dude, I love old Hulk faces.
He's
dude.
So derpy.
Yeah, he is.
But Rick Jones, he sees that the Hulk is like up to no good. And so he like... pages the Fantastic Four or something, but somehow it's Loki redirects that signal to all the Avengers and they meet up and then they fight Loki. Loki's dialogue is exhausting.
Is it?
Like this first page, it took me like an hour to read. It felt like I was like, what the, cause like nothing you saying like was clicking. You know how you can kind of translate that kind of dialogue?
Yeah.
I had no fucking clue, but yeah.
Ralph Macchio wrote this.
Yeah, dude.
What the fuck?
I don't know. Because he's still around.
Is that the same Ralph Macchio?
Maybe it's his dad.
Whoa. But
anyway, it was weird that like Thor brings him to Earth just to send him back to like Asgard. You know? It's just like weird.
These comics don't make a whole lot of sense typically.
Yeah. So these are obviously just like, because I think there was like 15 pages or something. Like they're really short.
Yeah. They cut out most of it, I think.
Yeah. So it's just kind of blurbs.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get some variants.
Some variants. Valerio Shitty. Shitty.
Shitty.
Skitty. Stephanie Hans has one. We get another Francesco Francavilla cover. That's early shit from him, which is cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. Seems like kind of a waste because it's like...
It's just a...
It's a more like design graphic poster. Design, yeah.
So, and then we have some character designs by Langdon Foss, the artist. Some cover sketches by Trad Moore, which is cool. We got a couple different designs here, which is fun. And we get some process pages.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So we can see some pencils, some rough stuff. Pretty fun. Some layouts. So good stuff. What would you write this book, Daniel? Democrat or Republican?
You know, I saw a bakery that was making cookies.
Oh, I saw that.
That had like the Canada's faces on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw a guy who bought both the cookies. And I'm like, I'd probably get two, you know?
Yeah.
So that's valid. Get both of them, make like a little presidential sandwich.
I like that.
Yeah.
I would give this one of those like red, white, and blue popsicles.
Ooh, Thunder Pop? Or
I don't know what they're called.
A bomb pop.
I don't think I've ever heard that in my life.
Yeah, it's a bomb pop.
But one of those.
It's a flavor.
Is that the one that you get when like the ice cream truck flavor. Comes around?
Yeah.
Oh, it's called a bomb pop?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Look up bomb pop, see what comes up.
This is what I would rate this.
Okay.
A bomb pop.
I like that.
Because I don't...
Bomb pops are so fucking good.
I can't remember last time I had one.
Really? I've had one as an adult.
Dude, they have fire cherry. It's like a spicy one now.
Ew.
That sounds fun.
That's the wrong way to go with those.
And they have mashups now? Bomb pop is like a whole fucking website. I don't all know right. why. Yeah. But anyway,
stop surfing the web.
I will stop surfing the web.
Let's get into the pull list.
Yes.
Colin.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What are you getting this week?
Fuck me, dude. There's so much I picked up this week.
Yeah, did you buy 8 books?
6?
Okay, that's bad.
Zatanna 5. I don't know if it's the last one. I hope not.
I think it's 6.
I think it's 6 in total. TMNT number 3.
Yep.
I got Power Fantasy number 3.
Nice.
The did you read it yet? No.
Okay.
You're just fucking... You're shilling off of me, aren't you?
Yeah.
The Moon Is Following Us, number 2.
Yeah.
And then I got 2 number 1s, Daniel. I got Absolute Wonder Woman, number 1.
Did you get Romulus, number 1?
No, I didn't. I saw it, but I was like, eh.
Boo.
I saw the movie.
This is different. It's like a prequel.
I saw the movie.
All right, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Did you get Justice League, or no, Green Lantern Dark, number 1?
I did pick up Green Lantern Dark, number 1. I forgot this was coming out, but I'm so excited to read it still.
That's good. Nice surprise.
Yeah, nice little surprise. So yeah, that's what I picked up.
Nice. I'll get TMNT, Wonder Woman. Forgot I ordered Null Hunter, which is a...
Yeah, it's a Michael Walsh thing, right?
I heard him talk about it on a podcast, and I must have ordered it on like Comics Hub, and that's in my box now.
I flipped through it, and I was like, this looks good.
Yeah,
but then I felt the stack in my hand that I was about to go purchase, and I was like, I can't.
My left hand felt weak.
I could like kind of tell. I think if you like if I was blindfolded and you put like a certain number of books in my hand, I could get pretty close.
Probably. X Factor number 3 comes out. I did not get 2, but I will see if they still have it. Frankenstein number 3. So big Michael Walsh week.
Yeah. Walsh week.
I'll probably give Alien Romulus number 1 a shot. And that's it. What did you read? Anything else?
I read Terminator number 1 from Declan Shalvey.
Uh-huh.
It fucking rules.
Does it?
Yeah. I'm not a like huge Terminator guy, I don't think.
Yeah, I know.
But this book is awesome.
Nice.
It's just like a random story. It's not connected to like any characters from the movies, I don't think.
That's good.
But it's very
No
sad.
Sarah Connor?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. No, her name's Jessie or something.
Oh.
It's great. It's like kind of... I think he understands like... what makes this cool and like kind of freaky.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot with one issue developing like what these characters are. And it's just kind of like in the aftermath of like the war with the machines or whatever.
Yeah.
Or not even the aftermath. Like I think it's like still going on, but it's about these like this couple who's like grown old while being in the war kind of deal, but they've left that and have gone into hiding in some random spot in nature. And there's a Terminator that was like hunting him. And it's like, it's really cool.
Is this book an anthology?
No.
I think I heard that somewhere.
It could be. I mean, I've only read the first issue, but
did the first issue seem like it resolved?
No.
Okay. Probably not then.
Yeah.
What else?
But it was a surprising ending. I also read Uncanny X-Men number 2. Number 3 of that just came out last week, I think. So I'm like, I should make sure I'm caught up on this and don't let it. It's pretty good. Like, I read this and I was like...
Based off the 2 issues?
Yeah. I mean, like, there's like a certain energy in this that is... There's clearly like a lot of passion for these characters.
That's the one Stegman's on?
No. This is...
Fuck.
Gail Simone and Dave Marquez.
Oh, he's good.
He's great. And he's really good in this too. And it's awesome. I just like the situation that they're in. And it's just like random people that are like, oh man, there's no more X-Men. But there's like these little X-Men guys that need help. So we should probably just like help them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like a really scary looking villain, actually. So it's cool. And then there's also like a B or even like C plot that is Charles Xavier, who I think is dead at this point, but he's still got his journal. And it's like doing like random journal entries. And it's Xavier before X-Men, and he's like in love, like this girl, and I'm like, this is kind of cool. So
what a concept.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. And then I also read Batman and Robin Year One.
Yes, sir.
Number one.
I did as well.
Mark Waid, Chris Samnee. And that guy just fucking crushes like Batman and Robin shit.
Yeah, I thought he nailed Robin's voice in this.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really refreshing.
Mm-hmm. And like just the Samnee stuff is really fun because he does like a really good Batman. He always does like the Inktober stuff, which is all like Batman related.
Yeah, I'm like, I bet he recycled these.
He's got a few of these on there. And he's just so good.
Yeah. You know? Has he ever done a Batman?
Not that I know of.
Then this is perfect.
It is perfect.
I like a bit where like it's like Two-Face in like a warehouse or something. And then one of his goons is like, someone is on the roof. And he's like, it's probably rats. And he's like, no, it's bats. I thought that was really fucking funny.
that was sick. It's interesting because we definitely saw Batman and Robin Year One when Robin like came out and it was just like them doing stuff. So I think it's interesting that there's this. Not saying that that's like even
continuity. This isn't supposed to be like an absolute thing, right?
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's just
not saying that that stuff is even continuity because it's not anymore technically. But
I mean, like Batman Year One isn't.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, in continuity.
It's just
either.
Like a story mm-hmm. thing.
But I like when they go talk to like Commissioner Gordon and he's like, you're bringing a kid into this?
Yeah.
There's like a fucking war going on in Gotham. It seems
like pretty crazy because like.
It is absurd.
At the time.
Imagine you're Commissioner Gordon. You're like, this is not a good guy. Imagine being Commissioner Gordon. You're like, oh man, I'm going to talk to Batman about some Two-Face like, stuff. Whoa, and then he brings a kid and it's like, man, I think we have to reevaluate our relationship, dude. Like yeah. I got to fucking bring you in, I think. So that's fun. I like when Robin jumps off a 30-story building.
Yeah.
And Jim's like, no, don't do that. And then he just like, I don't know how he gets out of that.
But. I don't know like what's going on with the villain. Like they're trying to introduce. But so far, I'm not like excited about it because it's like something new, I think.
The villain?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's.
And so this is only like a 12-issue series.
Oh, I didn't even know it was that long.
Yeah. Cool. I was like, is it like. 4 because that's all that's like solicited, but
yeah,
my comics have it's like 1 of 12.
So you're not like, gonna continue?
I will continue it.
I think it's worth it for Samnee stuff alone.
I don't know because you have to like read the words,
you know? You do?
That's what I do.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Like, it, I don't think one writer, one artist can carry it individually.
I'll definitely read it until I'm like, yeah, fuck this.
But I do, yeah, that's fair. I do think it's fun to just see like. Gotham cityscapes and stuff and just think like this is so like Darman Cook coded.
Oh yeah,
it looks fun. Awesome. It's fun to look at. I mean, like, he's such a talented storyteller. I feel like
it kind of looks like there's like inspiration from all kinds of things, like I'm like oh, that's kind of like a Burton looking like Gotham shot, you right. know, or like
the Batmobile is kind of funky, you know.
Yeah, super Darwin. Yeah, that one,
very Darwin.
So yeah, no, it's a good book.
So I'm enjoying it.
I read TMNT number 1 and 2.
Ooh, I haven't read number 2 yet.
You know, you spoiled number 1 for me. You told me everything about it.
Did you remember?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm like, wow, this has been
You spoiled night. Number 2 for me. Dude, I was about to read it. It's like on my nightstand. It's like on top. And I was like, I gotta keep up with this book.
Yeah, it's the Michelangelo one.
Yeah.
And he is like a karate star. And he's like on TV and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And his forehead was really distracting to me, just the way he's drawn. Who did this one?
Albuquerque.
Was it Albuquerque?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't the biggest fan.
Did you like Joa Joelle?
Jones fucking killed it.
Oh my God.
Absolutely obliterated. So I'm like, just be on this forever.
I fucking agree.
Wait, Joa Jones?
Joa Jones.
I love Joa Jones.
Yeah.
She's so good. Her Catwoman is like iconic.
It really is.
I love it. My favorite Catwoman, probably.
I think she's the one that did the armpit thing first, which I'm not a big fan of.
No. No. But, no, because we've read stuff and that's old.
The armpit thing?
I had the armpits.
Okay.
But she gladly continues it.
She does embrace the open armpit outfit.
But yeah, I mean, there's not much to spoil, really.
Because it's still like coming together. Right now, I guess.
Yeah, so. I'm like, when I was reading it, I'm like, okay, this is like good technically. but I don't know if I was like, wow, you know, but this is kind of like the establishing issues, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm like, so I'm hoping that like five like really hooks you in, because that's like,
it's going to have to, yeah.
When they're all together, I guess.
Who's on number three? It's like Cliff Chang, I think, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I love Cliff Chang.
I do too.
So that'd be neat. I read a book called Skin Police. It is a Boom book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the team on it. I just heard a convincing ad on Off Panel.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right. And it's like 150 years in the future or something like that. And fertility has like stopped in like America. Oh, like no. There's no babies being born.
Only America?
Or no, the world.
Okay.
And so there are people, there's like black market babies, basically.
Okay.
And they're called like duplicates. And there's like a task force who tracks down these duplicates. Because two out of three of duplicates, they call them dupes. Two out of three dupes, they go crazy. Like they go on like a murderous rampage. Because they start to see like everyone is like demons and start like killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the one in third dupes, they're like fine. But somehow people know that they're dupes. And but there's this person who's like saving them and creating like a secret society of like those survivors.
Okay.
And the main character, I think, is like a hotshot dupe hunter kind of thing.
Hmm.
And so it was fine. The art's really good. I like it. It seems like they were pulling a lot from like the Inkle as far as like the...
Oh, okay.
The like...
City.
Cityscapes, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that was neat to see.
You still read that.
The Inkle. Yeah, I like started like reading it. It's kind of like my shitting book right now.
Oh, okay.
And so I...
You have it in print?
No, on my phone.
Oh, okay.
So I can read at work.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah, that would take... That'd be a hefty episode.
Oh, would it?
And it would be... It's like the whole thing is like 300 pages, but mm-hmm. it's like a little dense. They do right. split it up. I guess we could do just the first trade.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just kind of want to like finish it and like know it, like, you know?
Yeah, fair enough.
And then I'm almost done with the first trade of Black Cloak, the Kelly Thompson book.
Mm-hmm.
It was her Eisner nominated book. I think it was best new series because it's only on like number 9 right now.
Yeah. And
the first trade is like the first 6. I'm like, oh, I can catch up on this.
Nice.
And it's really good. It's
I don't know if I know anything about it.
Yeah. It's like kind of a fantasy noir.
Cool.
And it's, I don't know. It's just like, it's really appealing to me. I think anyone who likes fantasy would like it. I feel like Sophia would like it because it's like cute, you know, like the way things are drawn.
Okay.
Like the characters and like the colors are like very, it like reminds me a lot of Lore Olympus.
Right.
Which is why I think it's Sophia. But
yeah, okay.
It's like a little confusing, but it's kind of one of those, it kind of reminds me of Saga too with some of the plot points. But
it's called Black Cloak or The Black Cloak?
Black Cloak.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, it's really cool. I'll let you know if I keep going with it.
Speaking of Sophia, I showed her the cursed panel from Shiver last week.
Oh no.
And she was actually like disturbed by it.
Eh.
And I was like, this is how I feel. But I guess for anybody, Shiver's the manga that we read last week. You should check it out. It's a good episode. There's a part where someone has like a lot of acne on their face and they pin someone down and squeeze their face and a bunch of acne pus comes out on them.
Yeah, it's gross. It's
a disgusting.
One of the worst things I've ever seen. Probably.
Actually, probably the grossest panel I've ever seen.
Very possible.
And I showed it to Sophia while we were like going to get smoothies or something. And she's like, oh, that like, yeah, that like grosses me out. She was like, she kept thinking about it.
Good.
So I was like, this is how I fucking feel when you try and pop my shit.
Yeah.
So anyway, Black Cloak looks good though. I'm looking at the cover art.
Yeah. Do you watch anything?
I've just been catching up on Penguin. I'm not completely caught up yet. Do you know Dad likes that show?
Good. I think I told Mom I was watching it.
Serena said that he said that it's his favorite show. Isn't that insane?
Like how he said his favorite anime movie.
He's got a lot of favorites.
It's really fucking good.
I don't believe him. Apparently, like episode 4 is one of the highest rated episodes of all time. It's like up there.
That's kind of dramatic.
Did you watch episode 4?
I've only seen the first two.
I've also only seen the first two.
It's a good fucking show.
Good show. I like it a lot.
Things kind of work out a little bit too well, but I was like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, he's just able to murder this guy and then get his body out of there or whatever. And like before anyone's able to see. But anyway, it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, I think so. I think Kristen Milioti's really good in it. She seems to like it as well. She was also in Palm Springs. She's really good in that, I think.
Yeah, she's awesome in that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I watched a movie called Woman of the Hour.
Okay.
It is the Anna Kendrick directed movie.
Oh, yeah.
She's in it. It's very good. Very tense.
Did you see this in theaters?
It's a Netflix movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Very good. It's like
it's based off true events.
Based off a true story of a serial killer going on a dating show.
Did they know that it was a serial killer at the time?
No, Nathan.
Okay.
Why are they putting a serial killer on a dating show?
Netflix has some 70s. Pretty fucking wild dating shows. That's all I'm going to say. I would watch that dating show.
But anyway, it's like short. It's like satisfying. I think I gave it like a 7 or 3.5 stars.
Is 3.5 the rating that you give the most often?
Yes.
I'm looking at this Black Cloak interior art, and yeah, it does seem like some stuff that Sophie would like.
Right. It's cute, right?
It is. And it won an Eisner.
It did win an Eisner?
Didn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, never mind. It got nominated for an Eisner.
I watched Boy Kills World, which is the Bill Skarsgård movie where he's a mute and his thoughts are the Bob's Burgers guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like narrated.
It's like an action movie. That actor has the best like crash outs.
What do you mean?
Do you know what a crash out is?
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
What is a crash out?
It's when like you're angry and you're like lashing out, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're angry, it's like not necessarily crashing out, but crashing out's when you're getting like really crazy about it, I guess. And right. So I just saw a TikTok and it was like, this guy's, you know, he has the best crash outs. And it was just like a compilation of Bob's Burgers, like Bob crashing out and just like in random situations. Cause like the way that he yells is like so satisfying for some reason.
Yeah. I think I'm more of the guy who does Bender.
That's
crash
good.
Out fan.
Yeah. It's good. He does good. John DiMaggio. He does DiMaggio. Jake the dog.
He sure does. So yeah, 3 stars. Bill Skarsgård is absolutely shredded in this and it's insane.
He was prepping for The Crow.
I guess so. There is a cheese grater fight and it's awesome.
Oh, I hate that.
It was awesome.
I've cut myself on a cheese grater. It hurt really bad and I haven't used one since.
But yeah, it's an awesome fighting movie. It's very fun. It kind of reminded me of like Bullet Train a little bit as far as like the vibe.
That's a big phrase.
Yeah.
Why'd you only rate it 3?
I gave it 3 just because there's something missing about it. I don't know. Mm. I watched it on a plane. Great plane movie.
Okay.
I watched...
Oh, yeah. You did travel.
Yeah. Week. I watched Robot Dreams. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Look it up real quick. But this has like beautiful animation. Like, I don't know if like...
Wait, maybe I have. Hold on.
It just looks so like clean.
Oh, I have heard of this. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's got like anthropomorphic animals. Or
yep.
People.
Yep.
And it's like a silent movie, I think. Yeah, it's like a silent movie because there's no dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all people make noises, though. There's like noises going around.
Yeah. What do you think the Rotten Tomato score is for this?
It's got to be high. It's probably like 84.
98.
98?
Yeah, it's big.
Wait, people or critics?
Critic.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, it's super fucking good. What did I give it? I gave it 4 stars.
Yeah.
So this is like a world where animals live in like New York or whatever. But what's really funny about this movie is like they'll do a lot of like shots of like the city and the Twin Towers will be there.
Ooh.
Because there's no terrorists in this world.
Interesting.
I guess there's no Al Qaeda.
Is it modern day or is it just
modern day?
Pre-2001. Oh, okay.
It could be pre-2001. I don't know.
What an interesting choice.
It'd be funny if it
is like modern day.
What if like that ended with like a plane flying?
It's like an ending establishing shot or whatever.
Yeah.
And we just see a little plane. It's so far away. It could just be regular plane.
There's a couple things I wrote down. So there's like a snowman in this. There's like a living snowman.
Mm-hmm.
And he's drinking like a Slurpee.
Where'd you watch this, by the way? Was it streaming somewhere?
On the plane. I love plane movies.
I guess I'll fucking book a plane flight. Yeah, they do.
Just rent it, dude. It's probably $4. You would love it.
I know.
But listen to me. Snowman is drinking a Slurpee. That's like cannibalism. And it's funny because like when he's slurping it, like the syrup is going into his face. Like his face turns blue. I'm like, this movie's so weird.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, yeah.
It is cannibalism.
There's like strange product placement in this. Like
Pepsi?
Yeah, shit like that.
Really?
There's like a dog that's like one of the main characters. And he goes and buys some shit. And he's got like a MasterCard. I'm like, what is this?
Whoa. You know?
It's like just weird product placement.
I'm going to accrue some points with my MasterCard.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
There's like a bird that like lands on the robot. And it like is like pecking at something. And it shows its like butthole. And it's just like an X yeah. someone drew.
Yeah.
I just thought that was funny.
Do you think that was product placement for Twitter?
No. I'm like, why'd they draw a butthole? Oh, shit. Maybe it is. No way. But the score is like mostly like jazz piano.
Fuck. This sounds so and good.
It's fucking vibey.
We still have to watch Hellboy for like a movie day, but we should have a movie day where we watch like three really good animated movies because I still need to watch The Wild Robot.
Yeah, dude. So this one, this is a short movie. It's only like, I think it's like 80 minutes maybe.
Oh, cool. Crisp.
Yeah. But it has like an unpredictable but like heartbreaking ending, but like it's also like one of those it's like a bittersweet ending almost, you know. But I was like, oh, I held back to you. I'm like, I can't do this right now.
So Sophie's crying.
Maybe
yeah.
Okay, but anyway, great movie. I recommend it.
Nice. While we were like doing some decoration stuff for the Halloween party we're gonna have, we were watching Avatar: The Last Airbender, just like couple episodes of that. And she's into it now. I'm really excited.
Oh, she never watched it?
She's never watched it.
That's crazy.
First episode, she's like, Kilala should be Appa for Halloween.
She definitely should be Appa.
And I think that's what we're going to do next year now, just to have Kilala be Appa.
What are you going to be?
Momo. No, I'm going to be Aang, probably.
You mean you shave your head?
Yeah, I have to be the part.
Yeah, dude. Go all out.
Or I could be old Aang, because he still has a beard. I just need to work on my J.K. Simmons impression.
Yeah, and then just shave your head still.
And then shave my head still, yeah.
Or a ball cap, I guess.
Yeah.
And another Netflix movie called It's What's Inside.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of this?
All these movies sound so familiar to me.
It's brand new. It's like 2 weeks old.
Nope.
All right. Exit that page.
Okay.
You need to watch this movie.
I need to.
You need to. It like stressed me out in like, you know, like good stress in movies. You know, where it's like, ooh, it's like very tense. You care a lot about what's going on.
Yeah.
Going in blind is the best thing you can do.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Thriller movie?
Thriller.
Okay.
It's a great idea. It's laid out like perfectly. There's a lot of exposition, but it's done in like such a creative way that's super satisfying where you're like, yes, I love learning what's going on. And it's like one of those movies where like, you learn everyone's name because it's like, it's where everyone's name is like important.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But it's awesome. I rated it 4.5 stars,
ooh,
which is like a 9.
That's a A.
It's an A. It's only like an hour and a half too.
Cool.
It's like a director's debut thing like that.
Mm.
A bunch of unknown actors. And it's awesome. I like it.
Whiplash was as a directorial debut of Damien Chazelle.
Yeah. I did not know that.
It was also a short film to begin with.
Whiplash, yeah. Was it the same people in the short film?
J.K. Simmons was there, but Miles Teller was not.
Interesting.
Which would suck.
I should watch the short film, yeah. That sounds interesting. But anyway, great movie. Recommend.
Cool. I might give it a watch on Sunday.
Do it. And that's all I watched. Nathan, what are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
We are going to read the critically acclaimed Grizzly Shark.
Yes, sir.
From the creator of Invincible, from one of the contributors of Invincible.
Invincible Ryan artist, Ryan Otley, yeah.
Yeah. Not a creator. I just remembered that. But
yeah.
His most famous book, arguably.
Yeah, Ryan definitely. Otley's.
Way above Spider-Man, way above Invincible.
You asked for it.
Everybody's
the people
been
have spoken.
Yeah. And we're going to have our Grizzly Shark expert on next week.
Yes. fan of grizzlies and sharks.
And when they're mixed, I think. I don't know what this book's about, definitely, if I'm be honest.
But and sea bears.
Is there a trade for it?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I own it.
Oh.
It's over there.
Fuck yeah. I'm really excited for that next week.
Hell yeah.
Let's get out of this. All these politics in our comics, you know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
Let me just read a book about grizzly shark.
What if it's like an allegory for like abortion or something?
What if like the grizzlies are like Republicans and the sharks are like Democrats?
Wow. Anyway, yeah, it's like a global warming book.
Dude, yeah. I can't wait.
So yeah, it's gonna be great. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. Like, comment, subscribe, link tree in the bio.
Send us an email. Who are you voting for?
Are you are you voting for Loki?
Yeah. Who should be his vice president?
Yeah.
Email him now.
TreyBearsPod@gmail.com.
Go vote. It's important.
Yeah. Everyone go vote. Let's remember to vote.
If you don't vote, you can't complain about the state of America. And that's the funnest part. My boy RFK is going to win it all.
Write in ballot.
No, he's still on the ballot.
Is he?
Isn't that insane?
Oh, is it like too late?
He wasn't allowed to get out because he had accepted in a certain amount of sponsors or whatever.
Ah.
So legally, I think he's still on.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
Well, RFK for the win.
Goodbye.
Bye.